Where do you want to stand or sit?
Hey everyone, good morning. So, since the theme is Yom Kippur and Teshuvah, let's jump straight in. And we'll begin with a Rambam on page one. I wanted to call this class Teshuvah, the irrationality of it all. But I didn't think it would be so good if people didn't come to the class and understand what I'm talking about. But that's really going to be the theme. How what we're doing right now, and I say right now, I mean right now, because learning about Teshuvah is a part of actually doing it in preparation for Yom Kippur, is how it absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. And according to all the laws of theology, of physics, of everything else in life, it does really make sense. Let's begin with the Rambam, because the Rambam seems to be quite surprised by this whole Teshuvah thing. And he, I don't see an exclamation mark, but I put one in the translation anyway. Says the Rambam in Hilchot Teshuvah, chapter 7, halacha 7. Kama ma'ula ma'ala teshuvah. How wonderful is this thing called Teshuvah? Amash hayazem muvdal me'ashem. Yesterday, you were separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elokei Yisrael, the God of the Jewish people. Shne'emar avonoteichem hayu mavdil b'neichem levein elokeichem. Because we know that sins separate you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, separate from you from God. That's how you were yesterday. Vayom, today, hu murvak b'shchina, you're now clinging and you're cleaving to God's presence. Shne'emar v'atem hadveikim b'Hashem elokeichem. You are the ones who are, in modern Hebrew, the word dveikim is devek, glue, good word, glued, attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam's in shock. It's like, this thing is really strange. How does this thing work? Yesterday, you were involved in a whole litany of crimes. Don't tell me what they were. I don't want to know. Don't send me pictures. And yet today, one day later, it all changes. You're a different person. And now you're one who's considered attached, not on the way, actually attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam is, as we say in Gemara learning, B'tmiyah. Didn't get it. He's totally shocked. It's an amazing thing. It doesn't make sense. It's irrational. Reish Lakish in the Gemara in Yoma seems to agree with this. Reish Lakish is also quite shocked. And by the way, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, we're going to meet him again in a few moments, my friends. He also is someone who should know about this topic because he himself was a Baal Tshuva. He was a bandit, says the Gemara, and he had a certain change of heart and he became one of the greatest rabbis that we have in the Gemara. And even he, like the Rambam after him, was quite shocked by this whole thing called Teshuvah. Amar Reish Lakish Gedola Teshuvah. He's saying, you know what, this thing Teshuvah, it's massive. It's really big. Right? It's mega big. Why? Because it has the power to do something irrational. Shezedonos naso kishkagos. Because the intentional sins that you did, you had them all organized, and you had them all paid for, and you were running towards them because they were so juicy, whatever that sin was, please again don't tell me what they are, I don't need to know, I'm not your priest. And comes along, says Reish Lakish, you do teshuvah, it's as though they were done bishgaga, accidentally. They were crimes that were committed not with a forethought. They were just things you happened to do as an impulse reaction to the situation you were found in. But it doesn't stop there, my friends. It gets even crazier than that. V'hamar Reish Lakish gedola teshuva. We know Reish Lakish also says, how great is teshuva? Shezedonos, that your intentional sins, naslo kezchuyos, can actually become merits, zchuyos, which means mitzvos. Now that, as we say in England, is totally bonkers. What he is saying, my friends, is that you are now intentionally running towards that Aveira, whatever it is, and you're looking forward to it, and you pay for it, and you're ready to do it, and it's juicy gossip, whatever it is. You did teshuvah. You weren't doing that. You were in shul, davening. You were being nice to your kids. You were saying good things to your wife. You were teaching Torah. You were learning Torah, whatever it is. Now that is even crazier. And yet we see a stirrer. Well, which one is it? Do my sins become accidents? Or do my sins become merits? And the Gemara gives a very specific, exact answer, which actually is the halacha when it comes to this. And many, many, many stories in Jewish history in the Gemara make sense based upon this. Says the Gemara, don't be concerned about this. It depends how you did it. If you did this teshuva thing, which we haven't figured out what that thing is yet, we'll see in a few moments. If you did this teshuva thing out of fear, your zedonos, your intentional sins, become shkagos, they become accidental. If you're motivated by fear, right, your wife's going to find it, your friend's going to find out, your kahila's going to find out, the rabbi's going to find out, your teacher's going to find out, everyone's going to find out, Hashem's going to punish you, I'm scared, that's okay. Still teshuva, it still works. However, if you do it out of love, which we know is considered a greater level of connection, right, Rashi on Chumash on Shema, tells us very clearly that the Ahavta is greater than the Yira. Yira comes because there's a gun in your head, but the gun goes away. You may revert to your previous actions, but if you do teshuva out of love, you just say, Hashem, I love you. I'm really sorry. But it's love. I'm not concerned about everyone being coming on to me because of this. It's just me and God having a problem with it. I love you, Hashem. Oh, you do that. Your episode has not only been washed over, made accidental, you're actually doing something good. This is the conundrum, my friends, I want to try. I don't promise any answers to this, but this is the conundrum that the Rambam is shocked about, that Reish Lakish is wondering about, that this thing called teshuva, whatever it is able to change things, according to the Rambam, in a day. Or we'll see, actually, says the Gemara in many places, in even a single moment. That is the power and the rationality that comes with it. Let us go to Mesillat Yesharim. And Mesillat Yesharim double clicks on this idea, my friends. And he comes along and he says, we're going to try to figure out why this whole teshuva thing makes no sense. It doesn't make sense. And says the Mesillat Yesharim, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, the Ramchal, Ki lefi shirat ha-din mamash. According to the laws of din, the laws of judgment, Hayaroi, it would have been fitting shachote yanesh miyad, that the sinner be punished immediately. Tekev l'cheto. Right? The rabbi's walking along. He sees the McDonald's. He walks in. He can't resist the burger and the fries. He takes a bout, takes a bite out of it. Suddenly, a bolt of light comes out of the sky and fries him in front of everybody else. That's the way it should be. You do a sin, you should die immediately. Which makes a lot of sense, does it not? I mean, doesn't the world work that way? You put your hand in the fire, you get burnt. You can't turn around and be like, oh, I didn't mean that. My hand isn't burnt anymore. You don't just drink poison, even accidentally. You want to grab a Coke, you grab a poison instead. Maybe a Bounty Jew. It's probably more poisonous. Stuff looks like toxic waste, whatever. And you drink that. In my house, actually, we call it poison. Right? When we have guests and my wife demands we order soda, I'm like, can you pass the poison, please, kids? You know, because I do enjoy a Diet Coke once in a while. And you drink the poison by mistake. I'm like, oh, I didn't mean to do that. And the laws of physics are like, no problem. It's like it never happened. Actually, you're having a nice orange juice. That's the way the world works. Why not? Says the Ramchal, because Hashem created this world with something called din, a strict attribute of justice. And therefore, that's what should happen. You sin, you die, you're fried, and that's the end of it. That's what should happen. That's the way the world was created. Without any hesitation, God should do that. And not only that, the punishment that comes shouldn't be a small punishment, a little patch, some embarrassment. It should be a full forced punishment. That's the way it should be. That is the logical conclusion for us performing sins. By the way, how many humans would be left in the world today if this were the way? Yeah, not many. I mean, I know a couple of people, but that's about it. And I am not one of them. Finally, he says, Karoy lemisha mamre piyakarish baruch yishmoy. And that actually would be fitting for a person who's gone against the word of the Lord, that they should be punished immediately and severely. That's point number two. Vishlo yitikon lachet klal, and there shouldn't be a fix-up. Number three. There shouldn't be a fix-up for this person. Did ki neba emet? He goes, because truthfully, that means, if you think about it rationally, ech yitakin adam, how is a person able to fix et asher ivet v'chekva naaseh, that which has done? What's done is done. Wait, so you're a time traveler? You're able to go back in time to yesterday, to last week, last month, and then, oh, it's all good now. But we have that ability. We're Jewish time travelers. Hooray, says the Ramchal. Ratzach adam etchaver, you killed your friend. Hooray shenaf, you committed adultery. Ech yuchal etakena devazeh. How are you able to fix that? It doesn't make even ease wondering about this. Hayuchal, is it possible? Lasir hamaseh ha'soy min ha'mesiyot, to remove that which is done from reality. That's my liberal translation, but that's pretty much what he's saying. Is that even possible? What is he talking about, this midat of din? Well, we know when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, he used a feature called Elohim. That is the name that is associated to the power of God. Actually, the word El means power. Right? Power. Elohim is actually pluralized. Some people, I have students ask me, what does that mean? Do we have more than one God? No. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the power behind all the powers. That's the pluralization. And that is the attribute of Elohim, of power. That's why, by the way, you should not pray to Elohim. You see those Israelis sometimes, Elohim, Yani. No, don't say that. Right? You don't want to go to that name. You want to go to the other name. We'll see in a moment. And so, Hashem created the world without it. Now, had it just been left the Elohim, we'd all be in very big trouble. And we wouldn't be here right now enjoying this beautiful class. Amnam, he says, Midat harachamim, there is another mid, another attribute of the Lord. Who? Hanotenet hefech hashlosha devarim shezachanu. They are going to flip. They're going to turn upside down the three things we mentioned. What are the three things we mentioned? One, we should get it punished immediately. Two, it should be heavy duty punishment, not a little patch of the tushy. And number three, there should be no tikkun for it whatsoever. He says, but don't worry, Hashem has done us a biggie. And what is that, my friends? Dahainu, shi'iten zman. God has given us time. One of the great gifts. By the way, I'm very into Hebrew words. Those who sit who heard my classes, Hebrew words reveal a lot to us. The word zman is related to another Hebrew word, which is, let me know, zimun. What's the word zimun mean? When do you make a zimun? Right before your bench, right? Make a zimun. What are you actually saying to the people sitting there? Let us get together and start benching. So zman is related to the word zimun, because man, time has been prepared for us. This is one of the things HaKadosh Baruch Hu has prepared from the beginning of creation. Right? Zimun is man. Time is prepared. That's what the Jewish holidays follow, a certain pattern. Right? That's really how this falls into. Yom Kippur is there. It's a time. It's man. Kapara. Right? Things happen in the past, but they relate to us today. Bayam HaMahem. Bazman HaZeh. That's when it happened, but this is how it applies, because Hashem has prepared this as a gift. Shiutan zman lachot, Hashem has given us time, he's given us zman, he's prepared us. V'loi yikached min ha'aretz miyad shechata. Number one, you're not going to get destroyed as soon as you do something. Whew, thank goodness for that. And two, to counter number two, v'sha'onish atzmo loi ye'ad l'kale. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu punches us, thank goodness, he doesn't squish us completely. You know, can I say a little thing, actually, a few years ago? I went to a certain great rabbi I'm close to, and I said to him, can I have a bracha? I do this. I go to random people on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur because I don't trust my own davening or thoughts. I ask them for mechila for certain things. And I say, could you give me a bracha? And he says, this year, Lawrence, you should have many, many problems. I was like, that is the weirdest bracha I've ever got. You know what I'm saying? I was like, what was that? That's the bracha? He says something very profound. He says, you know, I deal with people, he says, who have one problem. If you have one problem, it's a big problem. If one person has one health problem, it's bad. You have one pastor problem, it's bad. One child problem, it's bad. He says, we're all going to have problems. That is part of the kapara we're all going to have to go through in order to atone for our sins. My blessing is you've got lots of them. Because you've got lots of them, they're all small, and they're all able to be overcome. That's what he said to me. Take it or leave it. Personally, I took it. I need to help I can get. With the passion we get, it's not one big one. It's given to us small. So you have time to fix it. And then when it comes, it's little annoying things. It's the Gemara. You put your hand in your pocket. You want to take out a quarter. That's not what the Gemara says, but you get it. You take out a nickel instead. You're like, oh, right. You missed the bus. You're late. The kids drive you crazy. Your spouse drive you nuts. All these things, thank goodness, are kaparot for our sins. And finally, see. And this is the key word, my friends. Please listen very carefully. That the teshuva we get is given to us with chesed. Now that is the answer to everything we're saying. It doesn't make sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing us a big favor. Don't think, oh, I'm Yom Kippur. I said what I had to say. I did teshuva. Of course it's going to work. No! Who says that? It doesn't make sense. What, you say something, you travel back to February when you did ABC? Says the Lashon, Hashem is doing you a favor. You should actually thank Hashem. He gives you the ability to not only wipe away those sins, but to turn them into mitzvot if you do teshuva. We love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for God. And then he says, quite amazingly, and what is this chesed? He actually double clicks on this word and says, Shetekashev akirat haratzon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you that the uprooting of the desire, is like uprooting the action. Now those are very, very important words, my friends. Let's just do that for 1 second, try to understand what the Ramchal is saying. He's saying, you know, you can't travel back in time. It's not a Jewish concept. It's just not true. However, if you're able somehow, which is tough, really, really tough, I'm not going to pretend I've even done it yet, but this is what it's all about. To uproot the desire, and according to the Rambam, stop the action itself. Famous Rambam, not for now. But you stop the act itself and you regret it, blah, blah, blah. Right, you admit it and you won't do it again in the future. The various attributes that go with teshuva. If you do that, you've uprooted the desire through your words. And by doing so, you've actually uprooted the action itself. That, he says, is the chesed, the mercy that the Lord is having upon all of us, that our words are able to wipe away stuff that we did in the past. Dahainu, shibyot hashev maket chet, or that a person recognizes their chet. By the word chet, it's always translated, you know, in the books as sin. Sin. The word chet actually doesn't mean sin. Sin is not a Jewish concept. Sin reminds you of like the church and stuff, and they've gone off of their sins. Right? Chet. Do you know what the word chet literally means? A mistake, but actually the word itself literally means something. It means, right, to miss the mark. The Ramban talks about the chatas, right, that's a korban that was brought for sins, and he actually connects it to an archer who is shooting an arrow and trying to hit the bullseye. However, he misses the mark. How does he miss the mark? It's a very interesting metaphor, by the way. Well, have you seen anyone done archery before? Or shot a gun before? Right, you just move a couple of inches that way, and boop! 10 yards, 20 yards, 30 yards down the line, you've gone right off. Very small actions can pull us way off our target. Says the Ramban, this is Nachmanides, we want to be target people. The chet is, I've gone off. That little tweak has put me off. But the good news is, a little tweak back, not a big action. And this is a very important thing I always tell my students. Don't overbite. You'll end up with nothing. You come back a little bit, do one small action, bringing you back. You're a bullseye person. That, my friends, is how we understand the concept of sin. Sin fast chet is, I've just missed the mark. and I want to get back on the bullseye. Because naturally, we are bullseye people. However, through our actions, we missed it. What a nice way to see sin. Umoide, you admit it, bo, misbanein, araton, you think about the bad stuff you've done, vishav, umitcharet, and you have great charata, regret, alav, charata, gemur, mekra, and you, that's where you're going to do it. Right? Kacharatat, hanedem mashehu, mitchanem lagamri, vahaya chayfetz, the desire, umishtokek, and the yearning, shem olam lo ya nasadavai, who, it's like it never happened at all. Umitzar, believe you should feel in your heart. He's telling you how to do it. You can rethink in your own time. Tsar chazak, tremendous thing. Alkavad nasad vav ozev ato laba uberchemenu. I'm going to leave it. I'm going to run away from it. I'm done with this thing. That is Mesillat Yesharim, and I believe that's the understanding of the Rambam and Rish Lakish. He's so surprised because natural order of things in this world, it should not work. God does us a favor, and it does. Let's move on to our next source. Sorry. Let us go to the Tome Devorah. We are on page 3, my friends, those who are following with us. And the Tome Devorah, the Ramak tells us something quite astonishing about Teshuvah itself. And this is going to continue our theme so far. And he says, you know what? Our job in this world is to emulate God. And this book, Tome Devorah, goes through the 13 attributes of God, which we say, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Machal, Nera. And he goes through that and he says, you know what? We should analyze them. It's not enough just to say them, you have to be them. So this entire book, Tome Devorah, if you've been through it, it's a little Kabbalistic book, but quite his understanding about it in English as well. And he says, you know what? What you're trying to do is look for attributes of God and be like God. Right, you're made with Selam Elokim, which means you have the same free will as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if Hashem does it, you want to do it. That's actually how to engage the 13 attributes of God. You're saying, you do Hashem, I want to do it too. And he picks a one attribute. This is a very fascinating attribute I've picked for you. I think this will clarify a lot for us. And he picks a one, and he does a little psychological analysis of people. So let me just give you a little hakadama, and then we'll dive straight into his words, which I love very, very much. And he goes like this. I've had a good friend. You grew up with a good friend. Right, they're always there for you, help you out. And then you find that friend says something bad about you or did something bad to you. It could be financial, it could be relationships, whatever it is. And they feel bad. And they approach you and they're like, I want to say sorry. And you're like, you know what? You made a mistake. Things happen. I'm over it. And you mean it. You're not just saying the words. You actually do love this person and you mean it. The natural reaction of a person, according to the Ramak, is they're not going to be as friendly with them afterwards as they were before. You know what I'm saying? Let's be honest. You know what they're capable of. You know you're going to be walking on eggshells. You know you've said something to them and they blew up. You know? Had a great analogy actually. Rob Twersky, many years ago, heard him speak about this. He said it was in an elevator, and he's walking out of the elevator at some program he was at. It's actually happened to me a few times as well. And he, as he went out, he touched the person's arm, and the person went, ow! Oh my God! That really hurt! He started shouting at me out in front of all these people! And what does he think? Get a life! I just touched you! What do you want from me? He said later on, that person approached him and said, I apologize. I have sunburn on my arm. It was one of these retreats. And you touched it, and it just set off the sunburn. It really, really hurt me. And he's like, oh, I get it. Right? It makes sense. He apologized, and he forgave him. My friend, everybody in this world has emotional sunburn on somewhere in their personality. And you're going to say something to them, and you're like, whoa! Where did that come from? You know, I'm talking to my wife. I mentioned my in-laws. Whoa, okay. Topic, no, I'm not kidding. Right, whatever it is. There'll be something that you do, you're going to touch it and something like, whoa. And you're going to be careful. And although your friends are going out, there's always going to be that seed of doubt in your mind. Are they capable of hurting me again? Our relationship is not back to where it was. There's something still missing between us. Says the Tome Devorah, that's not good. Try to be like God, because God is different. Now check this out. God does not, after we fall out with God, right, you get angry, you sin, whatever it is, you come, you say sorry, or thought, okay, it may be just like humans. I say sorry, and things are not as they were. Says the Talmud of Torah, not at all, my friends. Here's the good news. You rebel against God, you sin, you do, you say terrible things. You say sorry, God likes you more than he did before. Now that is Plant's mental. Let's have a look at Talmud Devorah as he explains it. And it's based upon chapter 1, 7, Yeshuv Yerachamenu, our return. Hine Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu, God does not mitnehe kibir basar dam like humans. God is not us. Thank goodness for that. All right, we'll be in big trouble. She'im echiso chaver, because if you have hurt your friend, get angry at a friend, kiu mitratze mo, and you make up mitratze, ma'ad lo kavak domet, the love is not like it was before. Aval im chata adam v'asat shuva, but if a person sins and does teshuva, we're trying to do, malato yoter, you go higher, gedolim, God is more than you were before. God likes you more than you were before. Isn't that crazy? He prefers you more. It's not like, I know what you're about. Yeah. And get out of here. No. He's like, oh, I like you a lot more than I did before. Before we were close. Now we're besties. That's amazing. Right? And he brings down the Gemara to prove this. We have to stand this Gemara. Beautiful words. B'makom shabali tshuva omdim. The place where a bal tshuva stands. Ein tzadik en gemorim yichol lamoid. Both. Even the truly righteous person is not able to stand. Now, we could have left it at that, but he now gives an interesting analogy for this. And he wants to give you the answer as to the mechanics, I should say, as to how this works. Okay? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world with a letter. With what letter did God create this world with? The letter, no, that's the first letter of the Torah, right, that's the beginning, but that's not the letter he used to create the world. It wasn't a bet, it was a hey, right? That's Olam Hazeh, says the Gemara. And by the way, that's the breath of God, right? The Neshimi blowed in, right? Hey is just a breath. Hashem spoke the world into being, as we heard from the last lecture. The speaking itself is basically breath coming out of your mouth, and that's based upon a pasuk in the Torah, chapter 2, verse 3, I believe, Behibaram, when he created them. And the Gemara breaks down, Hey, Baram. With the letter Hey, he created this world. So like in the mall, you get those maps and it's like, you are here. The mall that is planet Earth is a big Hey, and pff, you're right in the middle. That's where the star is, where you're located. Okay, what that means, we have to figure out. By the way, for interest, as I mentioned over here, with which letter did God create the next world, Olam Haba, with? This is an entire course I teach at Yeshiva University. The letter Yud, right, the Yud. With Hey, God's name, right? Actually, half of God's name, we've got to complete it ourselves, but that's another discussion. The Yud, now the Yud is the only letter, interestingly enough, that floats above the line, does it not? All the other letters appear on the line or cut through the line, right? The Sirtut, right? The line of the Torah. But the Yud floats up, and no matter how much you take away from it, it's always there. That's Olam Haba. We're going to Yud, but right now, we're stuck in Hey. Hey, what are you going to do? Okay. He says now the shape of the letter Hey, this is actually based upon a Gemara. We'll see who spoke about it very interestingly. And he says the shape of the letter Hey is very indicative of what this whole Teshuva process is all about. The letter Hey is, here's my invisible whiteboard, click, click, right? It's a porch, a sadra as he calls it, a little chip at the bottom. You'll notice that if you are in the letter Hey, you don't have much of a base, literally a base, right? But also a base at the bottom. It's all open. Says the Talmud of Devorah, if you want out of this world, you're like, Hashem, I'm not interested, I don't want to be. Hashem does not keep you in. You go right out the bottom. You're gone. You want to go out? See ya. You're no longer in my world. That is the free will. That is the bechira that is given to every individual. And that is the shape of the Hey, as he says. Okay, I'm just paraphrasing. We don't have too much time. It doesn't have fences, he says. Hopim. No, ain't no balgadarim, there's no fences to hold you in. Hashem is not saying, oh, I got you, you're not going to be sinning, right? You want to sin, it's all there. And the person says, you know what? I want to do teshuva. I want to come back. Right? They think it, they say the few words. One day, one moment actually, we'll see, we'll get the job done. Now listen very carefully. And I think most of you should be able to, at your age with respect, we should be able to relate to this idea. You want to get back into the hay. Right? You don't want to go to Yud because then you're out of this world. You want to get back into the Hay. Now the forces that pushed you out are still there. Think of those arrows that have pushed you out. For you to get back in, you can't go back the way you were before. There's going to have to be a change in personality, as I tell my students, in friends, in locality. Right? You've got to have your own personal lech lecha. You've got to leave your aretz. You've got to leave your mimalotcha, your local town. You've got to leave your beit avicha, right? Which is metaphorically speaking, the influences that have been around you have to change. Well, what am I going to do? I'm stuck outside. I want to get back in. Says the Talmud of Vora, no problem. Because the letter hey has something very unique about it. Unlike the chet that got you out in the first place, right? The letter chet. There is a door on top. So you go traveling. You go up the side and you enter. Where do you enter? At the top. You end up higher, says the Talmud of Vora, than you were previously beforehand. And by the way, from my rabbis, beautiful idea. That's why the letter hey is one of the letters that has a crown on it, right? That is the keter, the crown of the Baal Teshuva. You're stronger than you were before. And that actually is why he says we talk about teshuva. It should be teshuv. That's what go teshuv. It's teshuv hey. You've re-entered into the reality of Olam Hazeh as God presented it, and you're back in. I once mentioned this idea to some students. One of them was a doctor at this point, actually a graduate of Stern, because you know everyone at Stern wants to become doctors, right? Everyone's doctors, dentists, physical nurses, that's what they do. Everyone, no one's been Jewish education, unfortunately. Everyone's going to be doctors in medicine, okay? And she said, you know, it sounds very good. You know, if a person breaks their arm, chas v'chalila, the arm breaks, and we put a cast on it, and then the bone itself reunites, but it reunites, it creates a knot. At that place, there's an extra hard bone over there. And it's actually harder than it was before. So our bodies themselves speak of this idea. It's actually harder to break that point that was broken before, because when Hashem fixes it, because it's not the cast is holding it in place, that fixing itself creates a much harder connection than existed previously. That is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world. I have a few minutes. I want to share with you one last piece, if I can. So the Rambam articulates this idea. You look on page 6, do that when you get home. I want to look at a really weird idea which none of you have heard before, but for me it was very revealing, and it's going to change your life. These words I'm about to reach, it's a big claim, are going to change the way you look at life. When I say life, I mean stuff that happens to you. And this is actually a book called the Sefer HaYashar. It's a small, thin book. I actually found it at the back of my yeshiva many years ago. And they're not too sure who authored it. I think it's Rabbeinu Tam, right, the grandson of Rashi, who actually authored this book. And in the 9th chapter, Perek Chi'i, he asks a fascinating question, which all of you have asked before, and none of you have ever answered. What is that question? How do you know if you're doing well spiritually? How do you know if Hashem is happy with you right now? What a great question. Why is that a good question? Well, you know if you're doing well financially. How do you know you're doing well financially? You look in your bank account, and there's a lot of money in there. There's the answer. Unless you have kids in your Shiva Hashem, and it's about to empty it anyway. So what's the point? In and out, just straight in. You know what I'm saying? Just forget the bank account, just give it from the employer right through to my yeshiva. Actually, that's probably a better idea. Okay? That's it. How do you know if you're doing well health-wise? You go to the doctor. Right? Lazy, what's your diet? Blah, blah, blah. Cholesterol levels and all this kind of stuff. So maybe there's a mechanism, he says, by which, it's a wild idea, you can actually know if you're doing well spiritually. Right now. Are you not wondering? Is Hashem happy with you right now? The fact you're here is probably leading towards the yes. But how do you know? And he gives a few, I just brought down a few of them, fascinating answers to this question. We don't have time to do all of them, but you can read them in your own time, and I'm going to paraphrase them. And he says, da, shekol harotza, whoever wants, lahakir, to know, imelo kavrotza oto, that God loves you and wants you. Is that a wild question? You're dying to know the answer to this, right? I've got to go. I'm only kidding. I'll tell you a little bit. Right? Yishkol nevashav, you're going to have to settle something. Ben eschus vavanot. Check, first of all, if you have more merits than you do sins. Right? We know this. Of course, this is Tishrei, the scales. A person who sees themselves as a Benoni, right, which was written on Rosh Hashanah, about to be finished, right? Are you doing more mitzvahs than sins? Okay, now maybe it's a quality thing, maybe it's a quantity thing, but try to figure out where you are on the scale, literally the scale, because one more mitzvah is going to lead you into the good, and one more aveira is going to squish you. So try to figure out precisely where you are in terms of the amount, quality, and quantity. Okay. Vim yeraki nafsho nota letovat harot. If you see that your soul, meaning you, are leaning towards bad stuff, he says, and you're going after things which are physical in nature, that's your v'tavat anashim, whether that's what it is, beitzav, agezal, and stealing, whatever it is, right? With ungim and physical pleasures, yoter, your desires are leaning towards bad stuff more than they are towards good stuff, hunota levorakeil, right? You know that's bad. But if, he says, you're finding yourself going towards good stuff, which around this time of year, we pretty much are for the most part, yes? Letzfilah, you want to go pray on time. Well, it's dakot, anybody of tzedakah, masim tov, good actions. Yeidah, you should know, ki hu rasha v'kiya el enu v'kabbalah. Sorry, that's backwards. If your desires are first case, you're not doing well. If that's where everything's leading you, God is not happy with you right now. But if you see you're running towards good stuff, you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually is happy with you. Jump, he's going to give you a few more. V'kasher yirtzeh adam lasot devar mitzvah. Let's say you're trying to do a mitzvah. You want to go call your mother, right, get a shul on time, not fall asleep during the rabbi's drasha, or whatever it is. And you find, he says, shenizdaben v'tkar liyadon, it becomes easy to do. There's a certain smooth sailing with you wanting to do good things. You kind of get help to do those things. Right? You want to give us a docker, the person telling you, we all have these instances in life, you want to do something good, and suddenly, pop, up pops the perfect opportunity for you to do something good. He's like, that is not a coincidence. That is Hashem happy with you, because he's got your back. Right? You've got the wind in your sails, and if you find doing good stuff is becoming easy for you, good sign. Ergo, the opposite is true as well. Let's say a person wants to do bad things, he says, and they're walking along to go eat a non-kosher restaurant, let's just say, fill in whatever personal sin you're into, and you're going towards that, and you're on your way, and suddenly, oh, it's the rabbi, you're like, oh no, and they're like, hey, how you doing, what's going on, you're like, I don't believe it. You look hungry, yeah, want to go, let's go have something to eat, and like, he goes, we'll go over here, there's a kosher restaurant. If you find, he says, that you try to do sins and you're prevented by things that are outside of your control, Hashem loves you. It means that spiritually you're doing well because Hashem has your back. And the opposite is true as well. If you want to do good things and you're prevented, although it's a little murky because the desire is there, and as Jews, as opposed to the non-Jews, the desire to do something being blocked, you still, machshav kamaisa, the action is not, the reward is not connected to the action. You know this very important idea. I'll just articulate it a little bit better for you. If you have a desire to do a mitzvah and you're prevented from doing it and you really want to do it, you get rewarded for that mitzvah. And same with a sin. If a person, says the Rambam, wants to do an aveira, if a person wants to do an aveira and they are going towards, if they want to do a sin, if they want to do a sin and go towards, if they want to do a mitzvah and they try to do the mitzvah and they're not able to do it, they're rewarded for it. If they want to do an aveira and they're blocked as well, they don't get punished for it. But if they do the action, they're punished for the action and the thought that went into it. The non-Jewish world is not treated that way. That is a uniquely Jewish way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats the Jewish people. You try to do something good, you prevent it, you get the mitzvah for it. Okay? So he says, same thing over here. You're going towards something really bad, you're blocked. Hashem loves you. You know you're doing well spiritually. Look out, he says, for these instances in your life. Finally, I'll just jump down, we'll finish with this because I've run out of time. If you see a person, kishivo al adam yisurim, who's going through a lot of challenges and a lot of difficulties, right? Everyone's annoying you, everyone's irritating you, people you work with, your family, everyone, you should know, he says, God loves you. Isn't that great? If you see you're being challenged, that means you're doing well spiritually. What does that mean? What? You're telling me that if everything's going smoothly, God doesn't love me? Precisely. If you meet a person and everything's great for them, The kids, fantastic. They wake up in the morning. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I get to go to yeshiva. Right, 18, straight to the chuppah. No problem. Right. Yeshiva tuition, I'll give you more. Actually, I'll give more anyway, right? The whole building fund, and ergo. Right, everything's going fantastically. Ever met such a person? I haven't. But if you were to meet such a person, that everything is plain sailing, he says, stay away from them. They're bad news. Isn't that amazing? Right, in the secular world, they're like, oh, people like that, stick around with them, they're winners. They're like, no, for us, we don't like that. You want to be around people who are going through challenges, because they're the ones Hashem loves, and they're the ones you want to be connected to. That's what he says. Isn't that amazing? What a unique way of looking at the world. The exact opposite to how we see the world. And therefore, if you are challenged, especially at this time of year, I always get some, it's going to sound strange, car violation that comes my way in the summer year. I don't know why. I said to my wife, Erev Rosh Hashanah, I got no problems with my car. I always get something, ticket, court case, being similar. Something's always going on. She's like, it's not a smear shuvah yet. Me and my fat mouth. Altif tap pela satan, by the way. Good advice at this point. Matzei Rosh Hashanah. I'm not kidding with you. Red envelope. I was speeding through an easy pass. 32 miles an hour. In the 25, is that so bad? Let's not discuss it right now. But I've been banned from easy pass for 2 months. Oh my goodness. Is that not worse than anything else? I said, I'll pay money. I wrote a whole letter back to them. We'll see what happens. I'll tell you next year, B'zrat Hashem. Okay, these are signs. Hashem loves you. Whatever the trouble is, and there's a lot of trouble with our people. Every single day, whether here, in our communities, in Eretz Yisrael, I'm sure you've heard what happened in Eretz Yisrael today, we should shed tears. These should be wake-up calls. We're not responsible for them, but they should influence us. But ultimately, my friends, what the Rabbeinu Tam, what the Sefer is telling us, is that if you do have them, Hashem loves you. Ergo, and here's the punchline, my friends, if we love Hashem back for the love He gives us, in whatever form it comes in, there's a few more you can read through, it means Hashem, all of our zedonos, all of our deliberate sins that we plan, paid for, and put into action, God willing, won't be just turned into shkagos, into unintentional sins, that we turn into schus for all of us, for all of Klal Yisrael, and God willing, the end of the galus will come together with that. Gemar, Chatima Tova, you should have a good ceiling. Thank you.
See you. I'm going to go back to you at Grain again.
Nice, thank you. Come here.
Thank you. you so much.
Thank you so much for the translation. I was never able to do a yeshiva, but at least, you know.
Right?
Yes.
I'm from Brooklyn.